Welcome back to Schnepps Connects. I hope you'll subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening or viewing. We also have expanded Schnepps Connects to monthly networking events. So hopefully you love listening to our episodes and come meet us live and in person. You can learn more about our networking events at schneppsconnects.com. So today I am here with a friend, Dr. Harvey Passis, and he's really an interesting person that I'm excited to introduce all of you to. Besides being a fantastic dentist and running a dental practice very successfully in Nassau County, best of Long Island, best of Nassau winner, really has been recognized across the industry, has written a book and a lot of other interesting things. But one of the best parts of him that I felt was, as we got to know each other better, it's really listening to how his outlook is, not just in business and marketing, but in life. And taking those life lessons and really applying it in his business. And I don't know, I think you probably say every day in your life. So I really am thrilled to have Dr. Passis with us and would love to just start off by, you know, you introducing yourself and just giving a little background on yourself to start.
Josh, it is an absolute pleasure to be here with you. I always enjoy having a conversation with you, and I enjoy having dinner with you, and we talk and talk and talk, and then we look at the clock.
That's right.
We go, my God, where is the time gone? It's just just incredible. So I really appreciate coming down here. I think that for now on, whenever we get together and we have dinner, we should have microphones.
Let's do it. I mean, your voice is beautiful.
Well,
and
thank you.
It's not just me saying that. You obviously have a fantastic career before the career, which you can share with everybody.
Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah, for sure.
So my background, very interesting. When I was a kid, my life was supposed to be singing. That's what I wanted to do. I love singing, love harmonizing. Everything was just natural. I could just do it. And I could pick up some musical instruments and just figure out and start playing it. I loved it. Great fun. Terrific. I was going to be a singer. That was the end of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's not what my parents said. And that's especially not what my mother said. You're not going to be a singer. You want to be a singer, you're first going to be a dentist. I said, what? No, I'm going to be a singer. No, you're going to be a dentist. After you get your license and you can practice, I don't care what you do. You want to go sell pencils in the street? Those are words. You can do that. But at least I know that I can die, Jewish mother. I can die knowing that you're a dentist. Well, as things were working out, I wound up getting a recording contract at Columbia Records.
Amazing.
And that's what I wanted to do. And my mother said no. And I was getting married at the time. And her family and my family said, no, you apply to dental school.
They want to make sure you can pay that rent.
Exactly right. And, well, that's another story. So I went ahead and I applied to only one school. I applied to NYU. Lo and behold, I got in. Then I had to make a decision. My God, what was I going to do? Obviously, I took it. It was the smartest, best decision that I made. To go to dental school was brilliant. Mm. Better than going into music, because God knows what would have happened otherwise. So I go to dental school, and I'm starting to learn more and more about myself. I knew nothing about business. I knew nothing about being a dentist. All I knew was how to sing. And while I was in dental school, the interesting thing was I started learning about people who could be a mentor. Now I'm starting to grow up. And I'm learning that, boy, other people really have things to teach you. Mm. And I started gravitating to other doctors. And they liked my curiosity. They liked my questions. They liked my desire to want to learn more. And I was just amazed at how I started to grow up.
Sure.
And I went through dental school, and I never forgot that I'm not supposed to say this, but it doesn't matter, because that person who taught me this is now dead. So I can tell you, I started working in a dentist's office, and while the patient was asleep, he would teach me how to give injections and what to do.
Hmm.
It's totally illegal. Totally illegal. That person's gone, so what are you going to do? He's finished, and so I'm not going to mention names. And he taught me what to do. And I remember when I was in NYU, in my first time I went into the clinic, I'm working on a patient, and all of a sudden, the instructor calls me over. And at NYU, they go, doctor, you know, it's a very kind of, figured in like that to the young students that are there. We call them doctor. It's doctor, come here, and I'm frightened. What did I do wrong? He says, do you see what happened to that patient? I said, what happened? Patient's asleep. I said, okay, what does that mean? He says, the patient's asleep, and you working on the patient, you gave the patient an injection, you did this. This is your first patient, isn't it? And I said, yes. And he says, you must have some hands. You must have some sense of confidence in your body that the patient doesn't feel the anxiety. He doesn't know that the other doctor, while the people were asleep, was teaching me dentistry, what to do. So I've already had experience. And it was just terrific. So I learned the importance of mentoring and somebody there to teach you and to explain things to you. So the time went by. I graduated, and I went into a hospital residency at Jamaica Hospital. And it was one of the best things I ever did. Trauma, everything else, and learning. I can just keep talking and talking and talking, but, you know. Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things that you said that I think resonates with me and I think is true of a lot of successful people is the curiosity.
Right.
Asking questions and just being curious of what else you can learn to make yourself better. How do you see that have evolved throughout your career and where you're at today in terms of continuing to challenge yourself? Because I don't think that's something that left you.
It hasn't. And I will say this as one of these life lessons, and that is always ask questions, always have this desire to want to know more, and don't be afraid. Don't feel that you're going to look stupid. You're going to look foolish by asking questions. The trick is to know how to ask the questions. The trick is instead of, if someone says, asks you a question, you never say, I don't know. Instead say, I'm not familiar with that. Could you explain that to me? Language is everything. So when I was younger and when I was at the hospital, and I'll never forget asking questions about how do you take care of patients in the emergency room, I was called down. I was on 12 days on and 2 days off at the hospital. So that meant most nights I had to go down. And I had the most amazing first terrific experience. I was called in for this young kid who was like about a little girl, about maybe 8 or so, was bicycling and fell down, hit her face right on the curb, and her lip in the front split right down the middle, and her lip was now like a curtain that opened up and would close.
Oh.
And I had a suture.
I cannot be a doctor, that's for sure.
Me too. Not mine. So I had to suture those lips together. But I did something because I don't know what possessed me to do it. And I brought down a small little cassette recorder. Remember cassettes? Anyway,
sure,
maybe.
Of course.
Okay. And I had music and I started singing.
To the patient.
I just sing. I'm just singing because I'm comfortable singing. I love singing, especially when I work. I'm singing. So I just put it on and it was nice music and I'm just singing. And that stopped the little girl from crying and being upset.
Sure.
And I just started saying, with that, other doctors and nurses walked into the area where I was in the emergency room at the hospital. What's going on in here? They hear the music and the singing. Well, I took care of the little girl. And with that, the rest of the emergency room couldn't believe what was happening. And I started learning how important it was to sing and present music to the patient. So now I'm gathering things and I'm learning more and more about what I can do and how important the music was. And that stayed with me for the rest of my life up to today. I'm known as the singing dentist.
Yeah, so talk about not just what you do with your practice, but also how you go into schools.
Well, one day I got a phone call from some PR agency in Chicago. I didn't know who they were. And one thing led to another. I was trying to avoid them because I didn't know what was. I thought they wanted to sell me something. Finally, they got me on the phone. And they were telling me that they represent Wrigley Gum. And that Wrigley's, and I knew, developed a gum that the American Dental Association gave its endorsement that by using it, it cuts down on cavities because it's sugar-free. And actually, it's not so much the gum. You could chew a rubber band and do the same thing. Because, okay,
Hopefully it tastes a little bit better.
Wait. A little bit of information for your viewers and your listeners right now that a lot of people don't know this, is that you have a natural way in your mouth to stop cavities. And after every meal, if you just chew on sugar-free gum or chew a rubber band, doesn't matter, and produce the saliva. Huh. The saliva is loaded with minerals, and the minerals will go back into the teeth that are expended during eating. So this way, your mouth can now be back in shape. And if you do this 3 times a day, you'll start to stop, to help prevent cavities from forming.
I wish I knew that 30 years ago. It would have been very helpful.
Well, look for the next 30 years. So this can help you right now.
But talk about what that led to. What
happened was they wanted me to go around the country and they wanted me to sing all about, you know, dentistry and sing about all sorts of stuff with their gum, whatever. So I wrote the song. And then after I finished doing this whole program for them, I then, every year, February is National Dental Young Children's Month, and I would go to schools, and I would take out the guitar, and I would sing, and I would give out little goodies to the kids, and the kids loved it and made them happy to go to the dentist. So I still do it. And as a matter of fact—
What was the song?
It's a song I wrote. I should have brought my guitar.
Called?
Well, this song was called Let's Give Our Kids a Smile.
There you go. Okay.
And I'm doing it now in a few weeks to a senior assisted living home where I'm going to do it for adults. So get them involved.
So you're still performing to this day?
Still perform. Every day is a performance.
Well, something tells me you really just enjoy seeing a smile on people's faces, regardless.
I do.
If it's in the office or just personally.
I do. I love it. And I love singing. Singing just makes me feel complete. Patients have said to me when I sing, and I don't, let's say I get involved and they get upset. They say, I love when I know that you're singing, I know that everything is going well. And I know that I have no issues in the world. Everything just is working out terrific.
And listen, some people have a lot of anxiety going into a dentist office.
Most people do. Not some people. With good reason. Believe it or not.
They may have negative past experiences or things from their childhood or just worried about having to have something done, for sure.
There's also more, because the mouth is an area that's incredibly sensitive.
Yeah.
For a good reason, because it's to protect you from swallowing the wrong things. So your mouth is very attuned and sensitive to different things that could cause you harm. So if you picture, if someone's going to use a drill that goes 200,000 to 500,000 revolutions per minute in your mouth and going to put all sorts of equipment in your mouth, you're going to feel it.
For sure.
The trick is to know how to give an injection that the patient doesn't feel. And that's something that I developed a long time ago, how to figure out how to give an injection that they don't feel. And it works. Works 99% of the time.
That's terrific.
Which is excellent. But let's get to business. Let's get to, because that's what you're a master of.
Well, I don't know about a master. It's always evolving and learning, right? For sure.
Absolutely.
Especially in media. But talk to me about your learnings when it comes to business and what you put into your book.
Well, thanks about the book. The book, I love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm writing a second book right now. I have other books that I've written on dentistry, by the way. But that's a different thing. The book, talking about business, where to begin on this one?
Yeah,
it's a great conversation. A business is not, this is going to sound kind of stupid, A business is not a money-making venture. Everybody listening to this, what is he, nuts? No. If you do things right, money-making should be a side effect of whatever it is that you're doing. My father always told me, if you want to make money, do the right thing. And when you do the right thing, as a consequence of doing the right thing, you should be earning money from it by helping people and doing the right thing with people. I look at it as an organism. I look at it as something that needs to be fed.
Yeah.
Look at it as something that needs to be taught, something that needs to be nourished, not just with food, but with nourishment in the way of education, of learning. For example, my office is a very difficult office for people to get a job in, to be there. Very difficult.
That's good. You should have high standards.
It's not a matter of standards. It's a matter, yes, but it's more than just standards. The first thing I look for when we hire people is, I'm not interested, can you answer the phone? Can you do this? Can you do that? No, I'm not interested in how many years you've been in dentistry. I'm interested instead about your character. Because I can't teach character.
Yeah, character and culture, sure.
I can't teach it. Yeah. Culture I can teach, but I can't teach character. And I want to see if you are a person of character and what that means. And we put people through discussions and questions and understanding if they do have character. And when we believe that they do, then we move on to other issues. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing is that I do not want someone who just wants to earn a living. That's not my person. I want someone who wants to have growth and development. For example, today, every Wednesday morning, from 10 to 11.
Yeah, I like this.
The office is shut down. We don't see any patients from 10 to 11. We have this big, gigantic room. We have this huge table. The whole staff sits around. Could be 15, 20 people sitting around. And we go over the past week's statistics. How did we do? What happened? Where were our wins? Where were our losses? What did we do? Basically. And after we finish with that, then we go through education, learning. It could be, I could have you come down and have a conversation with the staff about certain things, or I will present certain things, or people will tell me the things that where they grow and how they have learned and how it's helped them in their lives. For example, I have a hygienist who told me just yesterday that if not for her, she couldn't be getting on better in life.
That's
with
amazing.
All the things that she's done, because now she's developed self-confidence.
I love that.
She's developed strength, and everyone in the office echoes this. And if someone is only there purely for themselves, the rest of the team comes over and tells me this. And the whole team talks to the individual.
Our
culture is a very, it's a very enriching culture of growth and development. And then we try to do that with the patients. Patients love when they come in. They always learn something new, something different. So that's what we do on our Wednesday mornings is growth.
At what point did you feel comfortable with the level of transparency? Those Wednesday mornings, you know, you might have a new employee in that room. At what point did you say, you know what, I'm going to share all this information with everyone in the company?
Another great question from you. You know something, you pays you money and you takes your chances. Years and years ago, I said, you know, I can't move forward further if I'm going to keep hiding everything. I'm going to not expose myself. I don't mean it that way, but to expose what we do.
Sure.
And not be afraid. I have a lot of newbies who come in and just take my chance. And I just did it. We talk about all of the warts and all the pimples and mm-hmm. all of the terrible things. I'm not afraid to just let it be out there. And strange to say, by doing that, people feel more comfortable because I'm not hiding behind a whole mask of BS.
Yeah, and I assume you could also set priorities for everyone to achieve and work together to achieve them, which is
absolutely
a great thing.
Absolutely.
I want to go back to the interviews because I think for myself, I'd love to hear you talk more about this because I believe it's more about the things that you can't teach people, what they come in with. What is it that you look for to figure out that they have that something that you're looking for in terms of being a fit for your culture?
I look for an individual who is comfortable with themselves. I watch people's body language.
Interesting.
I watch how they answer the questions, not necessarily what they say, but what they do. I watch how they move, how they fidget, how uncomfortable they get, how they put on a swallow when a certain question is asked. I'll ask them sometimes, and I got to be careful how I say this right now, but personal, intimate questions, not things that are illegal in this world, but I just want to see.
Get to know them a little bit better.
I want to get to know them better. And I'm not afraid to tell them things about myself that are, that might be personal.
Mm-hmm.
And to see how they respond. And I find, I like when someone starts to get comfortable and starts talking more about themselves. Because then I say, well, this is someone who I think we can teach.
Mm-hmm.
This is someone who can learn. I'm not interested in somebody coming in and telling me that they can be the best dental assistant. Why? Well, I've been doing this now for 20 years and, you know, maybe they haven't been to the right doctor's office. And because we're very blatantly different.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Very different.
When I walk through the door into your, you know, practice, one of the things that I recognized was how welcoming the staff is. And I could tell it's intentional. I mean, of course, there's plenty of places you can go into and people might be nice, but you could see the intention behind it. So talk a little bit about that. Like, what do you think about when you think about the atmosphere, because it's not just the people that you create, because I think that's relevant for any business.
One of the biggest compliments that I get from patients sitting in the chair is, I just don't believe your team. Actually, they don't say team, your staff. I don't believe your employees. Now, I don't like those terms. I prefer team.
Okay.
Where everybody is together.
Yep.
The other sounds more boss and employees. Employer and employees. That's, you know, us and them. You know, I don't like that. And I thank them, but I ask them, I pursue it. I don't just say thank you. I said, what is it that you see? What is it? How have they affected you? I can't believe I come in and, I mean, you're a front desk person. First of all, I love her voice, the way she speaks. She worked for Disney.
You taught them
years.
How to sing.
No, but I taught them how to sing. But no, I picked her for the front desk. She worked for Disney for years.
Love it.
And she knows how to conduct herself. She knows, and they're going to, I want to come back to this word I'm going to give you. She understands hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
And patient says, I mean, she actually got up and put her hand out and shook my hand the first time. And we give people gifts when they come in the first time. And she says, and I got a gift. I said, I never saw that before.
Mm.
And there is a way for people to be treating others. You're coming into my office. No, you're coming into my dental home.
I love that. It does look like a home. It almost looks like a living room when you first come in.
How do you like the fireplace?
Yeah, beautiful.
So we have a fireplace beautiful. There. We have everything going. And it, people just love it. So they tell me, I just feel that the way I'm spoken to here, it's not fake stuff. You guys are really terrific the way you do everything here. Mm-hmm. And it just makes me feel welcomed. It makes me feel like, you know, so I don't know if I'm answering your question.
You are. Let's talk about the prizes, because I want to get to something else that I thought was really smart and something that any business can think about too, is how you generate referrals. Because everybody realizes that they can market their businesses a lot of different ways. But that word of mouth referral is fantastic for any business, no matter what it is.
Right.
So how do you think about that?
Well, we got to step backwards for a little bit. And I can't say to you, well, we just say, well, you do this and do that. No. Everything in the office, not just me, it's everyone. Because whatever I'm telling you, others in my office have come up with that within our culture. We believe in psychological safety. So people can say anything they want to say and not ever feel recrimination or feel that stupid or whatever. So the whole team works together. By working together and establishing a sense of warmth and a sense of that we truly care for you. I got so much to say. I am a huge believer in these three words in my practice: listening, caring, and explaining. Okay. To me, that is the heart of dental hospitality, which is what my office displays. I truly don't feel that we have competition. Might be a little arrogant on my part, but the average dental practice that you go into today believes in, tell me about your insurance. Let's get you in, get you out. I got the next one coming. Let's get them moving and get, yep, bump, 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 bump. No. We will sit there. We will listen to you. We will talk with you. I want to hear all about you. I want to hear about what your feelings are. What's your issues in going to the dentist? Why is it a difficult thing for you to do? And I want to show, and the whole team feels the same way. It's not a matter of me coming up with this, and when I hire you, I tell you, now you do what I tell you to do. No, you have to believe in our culture. And our culture was created by the entire staff, by the entire team.
Mm-hmm.
So we display listening, caring, and explaining, which is the heart of dental hospitality. But there's one other thing that I left out. And this is the fuel that drives the referrals, that drives mm-hmm. more people coming into us. And what I'm about to tell you, it's a secret. So
only available on this show.
Only available on this show. Don't let anybody know it. Here is the word: passion.
Sure.
Passion. Passion is the fuel that gets people to say yes. It's the fuel, and it works, because if you believe in it, others will believe in it.
Sure.
And that it becomes contagious. Very essential.
I think you also have to be passionate to be successful in general, because if you're not, you're never going to reach your pinnacle. You know, you're never going to be the best. I see it with my sales team. Whatever they're passionate about, they'll always be successful with. And if they're not, they won't be. So I think that's so true. And what's interesting to me is all of these aspects of hospitality, and yours is dental hospitality, are relevant no matter what kind of business you're in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What do I know best? Dentistry, obviously. And in dentistry, I realized years later that it is a cauldron of everything in a business. It's got everything bubbling in there. You name it. Look at it this way. Nobody wants to come there. Nobody wants to go to the dentist and tell, where are you going to stick the needle today, doc? And on and on. Nobody wants to be it because of the past experiences they've had. Nobody wants to pay for it. Do you take my insurance? And I'm going to throw this at you. Boy, oh boy, here's something you didn't expect. Recently, we had a strike. What was it on? Remember the strike we had on Long Island?
Long Island Railroad.
Thank you. The Long Island Railroad on strike. Okay. Do you remember why they were striking?
Well, I know that they wanted raises.
Right. They wanted the increase because they didn't get an increase in years. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
They did not get an increase in years. So they were complaining. And finally, nobody was listening to them. They went on strike. And I don't know how many years it was. I should have looked it up exactly before coming on the show. I'm not sure if it was 5 years, 10 years. I have no idea. Maybe Theo can tell us by looking at his watch or something and asking it a question, giving an answer. But it was years. Watch this. Do prices go up? I heard you earlier having a conversation. Do prices go up in business? Absolutely. Now I'm going to throw this at you. Dental insurance started around the 60s or 70s. 1960, 1970s started as just a little extra little something that the employer was giving the employees. Why am I discussing this? Dental insurance, the benefits have not gone up in 50 years.
Wow.
50 years. People come in saying, I got dental insurance. How much does it give you between $1,000 and $1,500, which is what it was in 1970? Doesn't go up. So the numbers don't go up, and nobody wants to come to the dentist. They think they've got dental insurance that fix my entire mouth. We can't. So look at all the things as a business person that we have to put up with because people are coming already getting the sad news that their dental insurance doesn't take them anywhere near it should go to, and the insurance companies won't raise it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have so much going on in dentistry that it's a business. Dentistry is not fixing teeth. Dentistry is human connection. It's human relationships. It's being with another person. Everything I'm telling you can be used in any other business.
For sure.
If I want to buy a car, someone wants to just tell me, well, we can look over there and you'll see the cars and this and that and how much you want to spend. Where's the human connection? Where's telling me, what are you going to be using the car for? How many people are going to be sitting in this car? What do you do? You get my point.
For sure.
Where is the human
connection? The old saying, you have two ears and one mouth.
That's right. Right. So
is to listen to what they have to say.
Dentistry is an amazing business, and it's also one of the government's industry of leading economic indicators because things happen in dentistry.
I didn't realize that.
I'll tell you why in a moment. Things happen in dentistry before they happen to the rest of the economy. Why? Because dentistry is a blend of need and want.
Mm.
And we see them both. Cosmetic dentistry is want.
Sure.
Having an infection in a tooth and you're in severe pain and you're getting ready to come down to Josh Schnepp's podcast and you're in pain, that's not that becomes not a want. That's a need. You got to be taken care of before you can go on. So it's a blend of both. And government watches it and sees.
Interesting.
So
listen, I think the thing I love about you is your passion, your passion for what you do. And I think really communicating and working with people, which is part of the fun, right?
It is part of the fun.
And learning.
It
never stops.
You know, one of the things that's important about referrals, and again, I'm taking you to a place that you're going to go, what are you talking about? When you have this passion, you should show it to the people who work with you. You know, in a relationship in dentistry, it's a big triangle. And there are three points, obviously, to the triangle. And the relationships are, there's the doctor, dentist, then there is the team and the patient. Do you know what the most important relationship is? One would say, well, doctor and the patient. No, doctor and team are more important. Because when the patient comes in and the patient sees that the doctor and the team are working together in serene harmony, the patient says, this is the place I want to be.
Sure.
And a lot of business owners forget. Treat your team as guests. Treat them with respect and inject into them your passion.
I like what you said also is people letting them see that passion. Because sometimes you're just so busy with work that you don't get to really take a step back and say, you know what, how is my aura impacting those around me and how do I make it as positive as possible?
We don't realize it, that we do have an effect upon the people around us.
Sure.
One question that I love asking when I give programs to other businesses, I'll walk over to someone sitting down at the table while they're having some breakfast, and I'll just, in front of everyone in the room, just turn to them and ask them a question. And one first question is, your name? My name is, John Smith. And what do you do? Well, I do X, Y, Z. And I said, you have people who work for you? Yes, I do. How many people you got working? Well, I got about 15 people. That's great. I got a question for you. What is that? Why should anyone be led by you? You are the owner of the business. That doesn't mean you should be a leader. Why should anyone be led by you? And then I wait, and I get the Jackie Gleason, Ralph Cramden shuffle, homina, 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 homina. And people, they go, well, I never thought of it. You're either going to be a leader or you're going to be a boss. They ain't the same.
Good. Yeah, that's
different.
That's a good way of putting it. Sure.
They're different. And in my office, we make sure that there's leadership because everyone in the office is a leader in their own way. When a patient comes to you, they come to you for leadership.
Well, listen, that's what makes a great team, right? So I know the next generation of Dr. Patsis may come in.
That's true.
What else excites you about the future?
Well, the future, what excites me is the fact, yes, having my son join me is terrific. I have a terrific doctor who works with me right now, and I'm looking for him coming in as well. And then a few years later, my son will come in as well. And for the practice, we'll be growing and growing and growing. You know, people might say, at your age, how can you keep doing this? Why not? Why not?
We'll share links, of course, but how can people learn more about your practice?
Okay, thank you for asking. So the practice is in Great Neck, New York. And the name of the practice is Patsis, that's my name, Patsis Dental Care. And we're in Great Neck, as I said. Phone number is 516-487-3131. And people can just look up on Patsis Dental Care on the internet, and you'll find us. Happy call. Come on down. We'd love to meet them, love to meet new people, and show them what dental hospitality is all about. Very exciting.
I love it. Such a pleasure to reconnect and chat with you. Always fun.
I love talking with you.
Likewise.
I really, I really